12, he said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job said, I value the word of God more than I value my very own food. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that's a pretty strong statement, you know, because I do value food, and I'd say some of y'all do as well, right? None of us look like we're starving in here, you know? And so he said, I want the word of God more than I want even my own food. And Christian, if you and I are to be faithful servants, we must place a high value on the word of God. I'm so glad as I was growing up in church, I grew up in a church, just a good church, just like this one. My pastor, he'd always get up and he'd say, you know, when I was a little boy, not a little boy, but 13 years old in Sunday school, he said, I'd gotten saved when I was 13. He said, when I was 15, he said, I was in Sunday school, and my Sunday school teacher, she challenged us. She said, I want to challenge all you young men to read through the Bible in a year. She said, if you read through 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sundays, you'll get through the Bible in a full year. He said, so I decided, hey, I'll take that challenge. I'll do it. And he said, I've been reading it ever since. It's just every year I've been reading through the Word of God. But he was so thankful for a Sunday school teacher who said, get in the Word of God and be learning what God has for you. And this, as a Christian, you know, we eat physical food to eat, you know, to survive. And this, as a Christian, we cannot survive without really the Word of God. We can't live a Christian life that God wants us to be living if we are not truly in the Word of God. And you may say, well, Stephen, I've got hardly got any time for that, you know? I mean, it's just I'm so busy and stuff. But I think if we truly look at our schedules, we'll find that we do have time for what we really want to do, don't we? I mean, I was watching one of those self-help time management videos or whatever. You know, you watch like 2 of them, and if you can't get it after those, you're probably just a loser, you know? But I was watching 2 of them, and I was watching this one lady, and she said, you can tell me, you know, or she said, I can tell you I don't have time to clean my blinds this week. But then she said, what I'm saying when I say that is really it's not a priority. She said, because if you offered me $1 million to clean my blinds this week, I'll get it done, you know? And so she was saying, I'm really just saying it's not a priority in my life. And when we say, God, I just don't have time to get in the Word. We may not have as much time as some others do. That may be true. But we've all got time to get something in the Word of God and to be that faithful servant doing that. It needs to be a priority in our life. Are you faithful to the Word of God? And then I ask, are you faithful with your time? Speaking of which, you know, God has given each of us a certain amount of time here on this earth. And he wants us to be using it wisely for him. I mentioned an aunt earlier who died when she was 21. That's all the time she got. Some of us here will get our 70s, 80s, 90s. Some of us may not ever even attain that. But God has given us each a reason that he wants us to be doing something for him. And he's given us an amount of time that he wants us to be getting it done in. And how are we using it? You know, it's so often so easy to realize we fritter away our time, don't we? Doing things that really don't matter in the end. We have friends that live in Florida, so we visited them this week. One of them, he said, you know, I haven't been on social media in a week, or he said, since October. He said, I would sit there and complain about all the time I don't have, and then I'd be sitting there at night realizing all the time I was wasting that I could have had, you know? And he said, so I just gave it up, and he said, I found I've got time to do the stuff I want to do, you know? It may not be social media for you. It may be something totally different that just takes away time from what God really wants you to do. Sometimes we can even get involved in things that aren't even bad in and of themselves, and yet they're taking away from what God wants us to truly be doing with it. And God has given us just a certain amount of time. I remember growing up during the summers, my parents both worked, and my mom, she cleaned houses. And so she'd always leave when we were old enough to stay by ourselves. She'd leave these lists on the refrigerator. You know, the lists. I hated those lists. I think she enjoyed so much writing them out. But she would leave them of like, you know, all the stuff we were supposed to have done, you know, by the time, you know, dusting the baseboards or whatever else. And she had this thing about cleaning your room spotless and underlining the word spotless. And I just hated that word. But anyway, so but she would always leave them there. And there were some days that I got up and I just went and did them and got them done. And I was able to enjoy the rest of my time. Then there were those other days where it was like, I'll get to that later. And the last hour you're rushing around trying to get it all done before they got home, you know, you all know. But here's the thing, as a young or a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, whatever, I knew about what time she was going to be getting home. She had told me, I'm going to be home around this time. But we as children of God, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We have no idea when that list of things he wants us to get done is supposed to be done before he gets back. And I don't know about you, but the way things look in the world, I think we're getting closer and closer to the day that Jesus comes, which should give us hope, you know, which should help us to say, hey, if he doesn't ever end up coming in our lifetimes, then he doesn't. But I think we should always be looking for his return and all. But while we are still here, we ought not just be, you know, like the Thessalonians, just waiting for it to happen. We ought to be doing what God has given us to do, saying, Lord, I'm going to use my time wisely for you. I'm going to buy back the time. When we mismanage the time that God has given us, it's really, when we waste the time God has given us, it's really a mismanagement of something He's given us. It's if you're a person who's in your 60s and 70s, 80s, whatever it may be, and somebody who's in their 20s has done more for God perhaps than you have, that's mismanaging the time that God has given you. If you're a person who's in their 20s or 30s or whatever it may be, and somebody who's younger than you has done more for God, you know, that's, we have been mismanaging our time doing what God wants us to be doing. Are you faithful to the Word of God? Are you faithful with your time? Then I ask, are you faithful in your service to the Lord? If you flip over with me just a couple of pages, Mark chapter 10, in verse 42. Mark 10:42, the Bible says, "But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And Jesus said, I came to minister. And I don't think, Christian, any of us are better than the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think there's a single one of us that shouldn't be serving just as he was faithfully serving. Just as he was faithfully serving others. And I ask, are you faithfully serving him, or do you find yourself being a bystander while others are serving him? You know, I don't know about you, but I never, when I was playing sports in high school, which for those of you that were not here the first hour, I went to a Christian school. That's why I could play sports in high school. But when we were playing, I never wanted to be the person sitting on the bench. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be the person that was in the game. The only time I ever asked to sit on the bench was because I wasn't very good. And there was one, like, the coach never started me, you know, in like eighth grade. And I remember he always played all the great people. And there was one game we were losing miserably, miserably, miserably. And like with like 10 seconds left in the game, he's like, do you want to go in? And I said, not really. And he didn't expect that. And later he was asking me about it. And I said, well, you put all the losers in the last 10 seconds. And I was like, I've got my dignity, you know, or whatever. But truthfully, I should have went in, you know. But any other time, I never wanted to be a bystander. None of us likes being the person watching everybody else do it. We want to be the person doing it. And how much more so with what God has given us to do? You know, why would we want to sit on the bleachers when we could be on the field serving God? And know what? No matter what area God has given you to serve, just do it heartily as unto Him. And there is room for everybody to be serving Him, isn't there? When we were in Oregon this past summer, we went down to the docks, and I don't know if you've ever been out there, but they had this little place from about us, maybe that chair right there, where the sea lions would come try to get up on the pallets and stuff like that. And if you've ever watched a group of sea lions, they're just hateful to one another. You know what I'm saying? So like, there would be like, let's say if there was 40 sea lions, there was enough room for about 35 of them to be on the pallets, you know? And so the udders would swim around looking for that spot. And then out of nowhere, they'd jump up and they'd leap up into the middle and they'd all wake up from their sleep, you know, and all that stuff, and snap at the one trying to get on. And if he managed to stay on for a while, they just let him stay and gave up and let him go on. But you know, serving Christ, we're not a bunch of sea lions. There's room for everybody to be serving God here, isn't there? You say, I don't know where I can serve God. Well, ask your pastor. I'm sure he has a great place where you can be serving God, you know? And I just heard of a ministry up here just a few minutes ago of how we can be serving God. And that's a ministry I think every single person in this room could be involved in. She said, I want to see 100. I'd love to see 200. But I see no reason why this church couldn't put together 300, 400, 500 of those bags. If everybody just says, hey, let's get in there and let's serve God together. Or whatever area of service it may be. Are you faithful in your service to God? Jesus, as I said, took upon him the form of a servant. We are no better than he was. And if you want to see God bless your service to him, just stay faithful to it down through the years. We may not see results the very first week or whatever it may be, but as you're faithfully serving God, one day you'll be able to look back and say, God was working in these certain instances and I didn't realize that. My preacher that I mentioned earlier, you know, it was a Sunday school teacher who encouraged him to read the Word of God. And he did that and he became a preacher and everything else. There's no telling what you're doing when you're serving God. There's no telling who you're influencing. Are you faithful in your service? Then I ask, are you faithful in your witness? Who have you witnessed to lately? Who's the last person you can point to and say, I gave that person the gospel? He could be in the form of a tract or in the form of actually, you know, giving them a witness, and you say, I don't know what to say to somebody. Well, all of us who have been truly born again, we do each have a testimony, don't we? All of us can go to somebody and say, can I tell you what Christ has done for me and how he's changed my life? Every one of us who knows him can do that. And you think, well, nobody wants to listen to me. There ain't nobody who wants to hear. But I think you'd be surprised how much people are willing to listen to the gospel when we take the time to give it to them. We have a missionary with our board right now who she said, I made it into my 20s and I never heard the gospel in America until I finally did eventually hear it and she got saved. She's a missionary now. But we just never know who needs to hear the gospel. And I talked about it a lot in the first hour, but we all have a sphere of influence that God has given us. And are we doing what we can within that sphere of influence? Are we doing what God has given us to be faithfully giving the gospel? We all have somebody, there's no doubt many of us in this room have somebody God's been putting in our hearts saying, witness to that person, say something to that person. And maybe we've just been like a little bit reluctant to do it because of whatever reason. And I just say to you, go to that person before it's too late. God may be wanting to give that person another opportunity before they die. And he wants to use you to do it. And so often people, they may come to church and they may hear a sermon or whatever, but I meet people all the time who the way they came to Christ was very often through a friend of theirs that witnessed to them or something like that, through a personal contact that they had with somebody. Are you faithful in your witness? And then I ask, are you faithful in reaching the world for Christ? And you say, well, you just asked if I was faithful in my witness. Well, I asked if you were faithful in your personal witness. But now I'm asking you about the world beyond us. Because Jesus does tell us to go into Jerusalem, but then also to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We are responsible Christians to get the gospel to the world. And are you faithful in doing what God has given you to do in that area? Are you involved in missions giving and in praying for the missionaries that are going as this church is supporting them? And are you involved in, if God has even been working in your heart about being a missionary, are you completely open to the idea that God could use you as a missionary? People often think, well, these missionaries are some weirdos or some strange people or whatever it may be. And we can just tell you, and the others that have been here in the service, and tell you, missionaries and pastors are just normal people. We struggle with so often very much the same things that everybody struggles with. And yet, if God can use us, God can use anybody. And God will use anybody. And so don't ever say, well, I couldn't be a missionary because they're perfect. Trust me, we're not. You know, and I can ever be whatever it may be. But are you faithful in getting the gospel to the world? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 that he said he was with us always, even unto the end of the world. The reason we can go to Chile is because we know that he is with us as we go, and he's already working there. The reason other missionaries that you all support can go is because God is with them. But another reason they can go is because of the faithful support that they have through churches like this. Sometimes people will say, thank you for what you're doing, and I just say, we can't do anything we're doing, obviously without God, but also without churches that are getting behind us. And I ask, are you faithful and getting behind missionaries and sending them? Now, to tie all this back in to this parable, in Matthew chapter 25, I noticed that there were two amounts that were given to the different men, you know, or three amounts, I'm sorry, were given to the different men. To one was five, to another was two, to another one. And of course, the Bible says in verse about the ones who did what they were supposed to do, the Lord said to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said that exact same thing to the man with five and the man with two. And they had different things that they did for God, and yet they both did the best they could for God, and God gave them the same commendation. That is to say, you may not have the same ability that somebody else has, whatever it may be, but every one of us can be faithful. Every single individual can be a faithful servant of God. But then I look at this last man, and he says, Lord, I knew thee that he said in verse 24, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. And he's like, Lord, I know how mean you are, you know, and I knew how terrible you were, and so I went and hid my talent. And that would come as a surprise to those who did what God gave them to do. They said, well, I thought God was pretty nice to us. You know, I mean, we did what he told us to do. And he said, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The other one blamed God and had excuses for why he couldn't do what God had given him to do. And what did God call him? He said, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. And I look at that and I think, Lord, those are kind of strong words. You know, wicked and slothful. I mean, to me, wicked, I mean, Adolf Hitler's wicked, you know, that kind of thing. But Jesus said, no, he said, wicked. And, you know, and when I do think about it, if a person found a cure for cancer and then just kept it to themselves all their lives and did nothing with it, we would consider that person a wicked person, evil. And I think, how wicked am I when I have the Word of God and I have what God can use to save other people and I hold it to myself? How wicked are we, church? when we do that exact same thing. And so I think maybe that's apt. Maybe that's actually a good description of somebody who wouldn't do what God's given them to do. But you know what? I know that every person in this building, I know there's not a one of us that wants that to be said about us. We want to be that Christian who says, Lord, I'm gonna do what you've given me to do. I'm gonna be a faithful servant. And let us all labor to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, I come to you. I thank you for your word. Thank you for just the opportunity, Lord, to be here with Lord your people. And I just pray you would use them greatly for you. Lord, I pray for this ministry that they're doing for December, that you would just bless it beyond compare. And then, Lord, just continue to bless this church as they're going forward serving you. In Jesus' name, amen.